You know, when I describe to Russians that the American system, ambassador system, that more than half of the ambassadors have no background in diplomacy. It's just how much money did you bring to your candidate that won, and that's your reward. Where do you want to be an ambassador? You know, you did better, you get a better country. You did worse, you get something small and insignificant, or maybe in a bad climate. And they look at me like I'm insane. You know, they
Yeah.
can't comprehend that. It's like, why? How would you do that? It's like, yeah, that's just the way it is.
I knew a guy that I think he was the ambassador to Switzerland. Well, I knew his brother real well. They owned car dealerships. They owned a bunch of, I hope they had a lot of money. They owned a bunch of car dealerships. And then one of them, you know what I think it was? I think they donated a lot of money. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
You donated a lot of money. What do you want to be the ambassador to? Switzerland. They got bikini models. There you go. Off to Switzerland you go, pal. I don't know. I'm just joking, but you get my point.
Oh, I mean, you're absolutely right. That's the problem. I mean, you would think you would. I mean, Foggy Bottoms got professional diplomats. You'd think you maybe would send somebody that knows something about the country. Yeah, you send Joe Smitty, who's, selling mattresses, but he gave you plenty of cash. I mean, mattress sales are up, so why not? Want to be an ambassador to Germany? To the Bahamas?
And you end up with a government that doesn't work.
No.
You end up with a government where the people are there because of patronage, right? The PU, a government full of people who they got their position because they were rewarded for something. But you go from top to bottom of the government, and no one in any situation position knows what the hell they're doing, so nothing works right. And since it doesn't work, the only thing everybody does is figures out how they can get their fair share of the laundered money.
But by the
And this is what
ways,
we got here, man. It's a mess. This country's a mess.
so you did hear about the 50-foot statue that Trump's planning to put up. So that's not hearsay. That he's actually going to put a 50-foot statue in his library of
That's
himself.
what we're hearing. We're hearing. But again, you know what? Here's the thing. It's we're at a point where what is that statue? What is this ark? What is all of these things? They're symbols,
Yeah.
right? So we're at a point, and people will do this sometimes. When a person can't get the real thing, they'll get something symbolic, right? If one of the things that I've found in life is people that have been like really, really poor all their life, like, and then they get a lot of money. You know what the first thing they'll do? They'll go out and buy things that show money, right? They'll buy a Rolls Royce or something, or big, or a Patek Philippe watch that's worth $200,000. They'll buy things that symbolize wealth. Why? Because they never had wealth, and they feel in their mind still kind of poor, so they want these symbols, right? Old money, people with old money is going to drive an old station wagon. You know, people that come from families of generations of wealth, they usually don't show that conspicuous stuff, because it doesn't mean anything to them. And so I think it's not an accident what we're saying. Hey, they're going to build this big ark. Oh, there's going to be a golden statue. Oh, you can't win wars, so you build a symbol of winning wars. You're not a great president and everybody hates your guts and your numbers are the bottom and out, so you build a golden statue of self. What does that do? That symbolizes a great so now the country has deteriorated to a point where it can't get the real thing. So all you see is more and more symbols of the real thing. This is all about symbolism because they can't get it.
But he's still got that. I mean, he still has that base, the Christian Zionist base. I mean, obviously, he's lost the neocons. I mean, Kagan went after him. Checkmate in Iran. That little article of his. But the neocon, I mean, not the neocon, the Christian Zionist base. The ones where he's the anointed of God. They're all blessing the golden calf. I'm sorry, the golden Trump statue.
Well,
It's
that
past
doesn't surprise
odd.
me. It doesn't surprise me for this reason, for this. In America, you have a certain element, political element, right? That they supported Biden and anything Biden did was right. And then they ran Kamala Harris, and it was like they thought she was, they were like, Kamala Harris, she's the most qualified ever. And I'm like, she's an idiot. What are you
She's
talking
an
about?
idiot. They're all
No,
idiots.
she's the most, well, how dare you say that? And they tell me why she's right. And no matter what Kamala Harris did, or Biden did, that was their person. Like, a sports team. Hey, I love Manchester United. No matter what, they could lose every game. This person's a Manchester United fan. They're the best, right? So that's what it was. These people are the equivalent of sports fans. They're really not into politics per se, from the perspective that you and I are, of like understanding what needs to be done and what how you get it done and things like that. To them, politics is like watching their favorite sports team. And it's like high school, I remember in high school sports, you know, and there's the cheerleaders. The team could be losing, you know, 100-0. The cheerleaders are going to be standing on the side going, "We're the best. Rah, rah, rah. We're the other team sucks and we're going to beat them, and we're the," and you lose 100-0. The cheerleader's job was not to look at the scoreboard and evaluate, "Oh, well, boy, it looks like we're going to lose this one bad." No, their job was to just talk about how great the team was and say, "We're going to win." That's what we got now. No matter, that's what you see with the Trump administration now. They're basically cheerleaders. They're basically ignoring the scoreboard. You're losing to Iran 100-0. We're winning. We're defeating them. We're the best. Rah, rah, rah. That's all they can
True,
do. And now
true.
when they can't do anything else, they're like, "What are we going to do? We can't win a war. Let's put up a symbol of winning wars. We'll symbolically win them all. We'll lose them. Actually, kinetically, we'll lose the wars, but symbolically, we'll win them all. We're undefeated."
God,
It's
that is,
pathetic.
it is pathetic. But I mean, the internal rot, you cannot avoid it. You know, when Trump comes out there for the European, I mean the Europe, well, I guess I mean the Europeans are trying to ignore everything. They're just about on the same level as Trump. Trump's selling the American Strategic Reserve to the Europeans, but that only goes so far. The Europeans are bottoming out anyways. Their reserves are done. I mean, Germany, France, Denmark, somebody else. They're all in the UK. All their reserves are done by middle of next month at the latest. That's it. You're
Well,
spot buying oil.
that ain't the bad part for them. It gets much worse. Here's what people are forgetting. The way they do things in Europe is they have these big gas reserves, and all over the summer they pump them full of gas so that when winter comes, they'll have 100%, and then they can live off of that gas until the next. They ain't gonna be able to fill them. This summer they ain't filling their gas reserves, and come November, December, it's going to get cold. I don't care what percentage of your gas reserves you have, which will be zero, it's going to get cold and you're going to have nothing. Europe, I think it's going to fall into a very bad situation. It won't surprise me if there's violence in Europe, because what they're going to experience, I mean, the US ain't going to be good. But the US does have some, we grow some of our own. If you're honest about the US, it'll get ugly. But it does grow some of its, grow a lot of food, and it does have some energy that it produces. So it may get ugly, but not as ugly as Europe. It's going to be bad. And next winter, forget it, man. So I think that within, it's going to be a long year. The next 12 months is going to be a long, the next 6 months is going to be a long 6 months for Europe, because they're going to run out of gas and stuff like that, and it's going to fall into like anarchy or some kind of something crazy. But then the winter's going to get here, and it's going to be cold, and it's going to get even worse.
You think they might go to war? Well, you know,
With
I'm sitting
themselves.
here in Russia, and all you hear from the Europeans is, "Yep, we're gonna go to war. We gotta go to war. We gotta go to war."
Sounds good, but with who and with what?
Well, with
You know what I
us,
mean?
obviously, but with
No, what
what?
I
I'm
know
not
I'm
sure.
saying with whom, what I mean is this. There'll be war. They'll be trying to keep their citizens from breaking down their breaking down their parliaments and hanging everybody in there. The least of their problems, I believe, within months, the least of their enemies are going to be the Russians. They're not going to be able to operate as a modern society. You know, it's interesting, all this talk of bombing Iran into the Stone Ages. Europe's going back to the Stone Ages.
Oh yeah.
They don't. They have no idea what's coming. They are out of luck, out of time. And when that happens, all this talk of the Kaya Kallises and the Vaterlands, "Oh, we're going to get the Russians," they're going to be running for their lives in the through the streets of through the streets of Brussels.
You know, it was telling when Merz, about a week after they blew up the last demolition, the last nuclear power plant. The cooling towers said, you know, that may have been a mistake. but we're on the green agenda and we're going forward.
Well, we'll find out, huh? There, Merritt, we'll find out.
Well, you know, there's two problems in Germany in the winter. The wind doesn't blow, and there isn't much sunlight. So, what do you got left at that point?
Well, Mother, they'll find out, because Mother Nature is unforgiving, you
know?
Oh,
she is. Oh, she is. She is one bad biatch.
Well, hey, I'll tell you who kills me. The stinking Finns. Oh. You talk about stupidity. You are on the border of a world superpower. Your economy's doing well because you're trading with them, right? Yep. You got lots of tourism because people are coming back and forth. Your airlines are doing well because you're a nice little hub flying. All of these things are working out well because you are doing business on the border of this gigantic superpower. And all of a sudden, you decide, nah, I'm going to side with the U.S. and the U.K. and Great Britain against them. Number one, if a war started, you would be a speed bump.
Yep.
You would be a speed bump if a war started. And, oh, we're going to put bases. Oh, you have 15 U.S. bases. I don't know if you've been paying attention to current events, stub, but U.S. bases don't last long in a real war. Hours, minutes. So you're going to put those bases up, and if a war would actually start within minutes, you wouldn't have bases. All that work to build the bases would be a waste of time because they would be vaporized quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I've talked to Finns before on that. They're all, they grew up on these legends, the Finnish snipers and all, and the dumb Russians, they just keep running and they just keep shooting. And they all believe this, right? Oh, we'll start a war and then the dumb Russians come running and we'll kill a couple hundred each and blah, blah, blah. And you look at them, it's like, well, you do realize we'll just close the border, use standoff munitions, you know, missiles, blow up all your infrastructure, and then let the winter and the cold and the hunger take care of the rest. And they look at you. And, you know, and sometimes that something starts moving there up there. And it's like, oh, like, yes.
You got 6 million people. You're just basically a good sized neighborhood in Moscow.
Well, a good chunk of those people aren't even Finns. I mean, look at the kids. I've been to Finland a couple of times, about three or four. And you look and you're walking down. One of the things you notice, A, there aren't that many kids in Helsinki. Two, half those kids aren't Finnish. They're Arabic, they're Turk, they're African, and they're not assimilating. They're in their own dress, whatever. They're not assimilating into the Finnish society. They're very distinct from each other the Finns. And half the kids are theirs. The other half the kids are Finns, and there aren't that many kids to begin with. It's like, yeah, that's not a bright future.
No, Finland. Then that's Europe. But you know, I will say this, and I've predicted this for a while. The future of Europe is so bad, the people from these countries will probably go to hell back. They'll be like, well, it may be bad in my country, but I'm getting the hell out of France. At least we got some food. You guys are completely out of your minds. Goodbye.
You know, watching the way some of these people are living in France, places like that, on mattresses, you know, camped out under some bridge, it's like, and you came from something worse. Wow. That's because I'm sure they were thinking they're going to be living in mansions or at least a good house, and they were on a mattress underneath a bridge, and the rest of France isn't looking much better for the locals.
Yeah, it ain't going to get me, but I just see, I don't know what to expect. But I do think that there's going to be dire circumstances in Europe because, and now, I mean, you know, they get a lot of their gas from Oman, one of those Bahrain or something. Now they're getting most of their gas from.
Well, they were getting from
Qatar. That's what it is.
But Qatar. That Qatar's out for the next 5-7 years. The damage level. Yep. They were getting some. Well, no, Spain is getting some from Morocco.
Is it Algeria, Morocco.
From Morocco, I think Morocco. Maybe Algeria. Hmm. Algeria's got some too to Italy, I think, but it's not that much. And they're still getting some through Turk stream from Russia that goes into Southeast Europe, but the Ukrainians are doing their best to blow up the pumping stations. either in Russia or in Tur or the
Doesn't
pumps
that
going to
Did
Turkey.
those
So,
contracts end at the end of this year or something? Or didn't they say they're not going to? Oh, that's right. There's a law in the EU that says at the end of 2026, no more gas or oil from Russia that can you buy.
No, it's 27, I think, is when they say no more, period.
Oh,
And the Russians
okay.
said, why are we going to wait? Screw this.
Well, I think when President
Yeah,
Putin visits China here in a few weeks, you're going to see some major contracts signed on energy and other things that'll just end all of that stuff. So if the Europeans ever come begging, they'll say, sorry, but those gas fields that we actually could have used for you, they're already, we sold that gas to somebody else. So have a nice day.
by the way, I know we're running out of time, but well, two things I want to bring up. Do you know that the president of was it either Tajikistan or Turkmenistan? I'm not sure which one. I gotta look it up.
Tajikistan that was in China.
Yeah, in China. So the Chinese, so he's missed meeting with him while Trump's arriving. I mean, what does that say to you if you're
You know
Trump
what
and you
else?
find that out?
If you look at the head of the like their papers, like China Daily was like the headlines was President Xi meets with the leader of Tajikistan, and it was all this stuff. Nothing about Trump. So the front of their pages were all about Tajikistan. Trump wasn't even on there. It wasn't like, yeah, the Americans are here. Oh, really? Didn't notice. We're sorry. We're busy meeting with the leader of Tajikistan right now. It was
Wow.
like they deliberately like disrespected
I
the
think they
Americans.
did. Last time, I mean, Trump twice has come hat in hand to the Chinese, and last time they made him wait.
Yes.
I mean, holy crap. Yeah, at that level, they made him wait. Like you make your assistant wait. Just stand there, son. When we're done, we'll talk to you. That's something on that level, because this is the President of the United States.
Well, the thing about it is this, though. Okay, the Americans have disrespected them,
True, true.
and they're not going to disrespect Americans in the same crude way that the Americans disrespect them. They're going to do it in a more sophisticated manner and in a more subtle manner because they are more sophisticated, to be quite frank, politically speaking and diplomatically speaking. So they're not, but they're going to send the message through protocol. So rather than just say, okay, we're going to do this or that, or we're going to say do this or that, they'll just through the diplomatic protocol of who's there at the airport waiting for you when you get there. Those kinds of who welcomes you there. Do we roll out the red carpet or do we just let you get here and catch a cab to the hotel? You're on your own. That's the way the Chinese send their message. It's subtle. It's diplomatic, but the message is there. We got no use for you.
Yeah, but they make
And then,
good
the
videos
big part of
walking
it,
in, don't they?
the big part of it, and I wrote them down here. The biggest, if you wanted to, so there was no deals made, there was no nothing, but the biggest part of it,
Did have a good dinner, as I understand.
the biggest part of it was this. This is what the Chinese got accomplished. The four red lines in U.S.-China relations, Chinese embassy in the U.S. put this out on their site. One, the Taiwan question. Two, democracy and human rights. Three, paths and political systems. Four, China's development right. So I think while the Americans came there to say, okay, can you bail us out because we're in a world of deep and serious economic trouble, I think the China's position was, yeah, we want a meeting with you, but we want to reinforce that you're disrespecting us and that we as a world power have a right to have our red lines. You got yours, we got ours, Russia has theirs, everybody, apparently Iran has theirs, and you can't cross them. So here's our four. So I think with China, the biggest thing they wanted to do was reinforce to the United States, hey man, we got red lines, don't you forget it. Don't go screwing around with our red lines, or there's going to be problems.
I think they got their message across. But the question here is, and I'll ask this a final question because I know we've been on for a while. He said basically to Trump, if you start anything with Iran, don't even bother landing.
Right.
Trump's leaving. You think he's going to start something with Iran?
Well, here's what the way I look at it. It would shock me. It's not that the US government isn't, treacherous enough and warmongering enough to do it. I just don't think they got the horsepower to do it right now. You know what I mean? I think, the discussion to me is not whether they will. It's whether they have the capability to do it right now. It's clear they're very short of ammunition. And I think if they get it back in this thing and it gets drawn out, that they run out of ammunition, and they are they really going to put themselves back in a position of begging Iran for a second ceasefire? I think there's another factor, and that's important. They're not stupid. Iran, they were getting clobbered.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason that they were asking for a suit. They were asking for a ceasefire because they were losing the war, right?
True, true.
So if you're going to go back, this guy's boxing your ears. You're going to get back in a ring with him and think you're going to do better this time. If the end, Iran has had a chance to, probably bring in new stuff, get stuff prepared, do more targeting, and prepare to go back into it and hit them hard. So do you really want to go back into this hornet's nest where, they were really figuring out, various methods to take out stealth fighters? They were coming up with new and innovative ways to thwart you with a lot of things you were doing. Do you really want, now you've given them time to prepare even more, do you really want to go back into that fight and maybe get embarrassed really, really bad? So they're doing a lot of talking, but and the more I read here, I think that we've seen a lot of things in the newspapers here that are shocking, surprising to see, like the admission that they lost 39 aircraft, which they probably lost more. Admissions that were running out of stuff. I think that maybe the intelligence communities and or the Pentagon are leaking info.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, leaking info to the people to let people know we can't go back into this fight. We can't do it.
But the
And
rest.
then you, let's say you go back into the fight and you run out of stuff, you're out of stuff for
Yeah, man.
years. Your chambers are empty. You're out of ammo, and not just for a little while. So
And no
I
magnets.
think that, are they motivated for such a stupid, to do such a stupid thing? Yeah, but I don't think they're capable of doing it. That ain't saying that they won't, but I think it's the odds are much lower because simply because their capabilities
But
are
Garland,
compromised.
what does Netanyahu
Yeah, exactly. I'm
want?
wondering, apparently is his government collapsing? I'm hearing something about their government collapsing.
Well,
But I don't know how much you know about Israel. It ain't like they're going to put in a guy who's better. Whoever comes in from Israel is going to be just as much of a homicidal maniac as him. That's kind of the way things go there now.
Right. One, he's going to be just as much of a homicidal maniac, and two, it's not like the Israeli lobby is just going to disappear at that moment.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bot is bot. You know,
Yeah,
it's not.
so I don't know. But again, there's the, there is the capability, there's the, that I think that is a factor, because what do you do if you say, "Okay, we're going to launch," and the Pentagon's screaming, "We can't do this, man." The Pentagon's just screaming, "We cannot do this, dude. We're going to be losing, and we can't do it." And I look, any military, you're a military man, you look at that and you see what happened. We can't bring our ships within a thousand miles of the shoreline. And we're getting planes shot down. And we're running out of long distance strike capability, which means now planes are going to have to fly into harm's way to drop bombs. That ain't going to work out well. Not, it may happen, but it would be the coup de grace. It would be us putting the gun to the back of our heads and shooting ourselves instead of mafia doing it.
Well, you know, Trump said he decimated him again, and then triple decimated him. Which is right. He took about 30% out, decimated. And then what did the intelligence say? He said, yeah, they got about 70% left. But the U.S. doesn't
But
have. It
no, yeah, but we'll, yeah,
shot its best shot. That's it.
right. They got 70%, we got 30%. I think they're going to win. And they live there, they're not going to move.
Oh, I
So
know.
time is on their side.
It's going to be interesting times, my friend. It's going
And
to
the
be
other
interesting
thing
times.
is, too, the other part of it is this: the people are unified for a fight behind the government. And the people here are the opposite of unified. The people here are screaming to their government, get the hell out of that war and all the wars. We're sick of it. And over there, they're saying, keep fighting the Americans. How do you win that when you have no unity? You know what I mean? When the people are screaming, don't do it, get out of this mess.
You know, what's Trump going to do with Trump's Straits?
Yeah, exactly.
If you can't have them, how can they be Trump straights?
The Trumpian Gulf or something?
Yeah.
You know, that's, again, that's all he can do. He can name
Trump.
Yeah. He can name it the Trump Straits. All this, that's all he's got is symbolism, man. That's just a sad state of affairs, but that's all the U.S. has is symbolism now. It doesn't have the kinetic ability to do anything. Doesn't have the economic ability. Yet now they've gone over there begging China, and China's like, get out of here. You get nothing.
So you think, okay, final question. Final question. I know I'm pulling this late. But so you think he's going to go into Cuba to get some kind of win?
I don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea. First of all, he's got to get out of Iran before he can do anything else. And true. I see no exit point.
Yep.
There ain't no exit point for Trump. I think at some point, as things get really bad here, when people, because people are, you know, I've said for years, I've said this. This is America. If you really want to piss the people off, the one thing in America that will piss people off more than anything else is high gas prices. You can get away with the Epstein files more so than you can get away with high gas prices. Because you know how, you've been in America, people like their big, I got an F-250 diesel pickup, 6.7 liter. What the hell do I need that for? But I'm an American, you know what I mean? And that's what you got to have. It's a manly. I got a hat, and it's got camouflage stuff on it, and a pickup truck. Doggone it, I'm an American, right? That's what it's about being an American. But who the hell can afford that stuff? You know, you go fill up your tank, and it costs $150. That's going to piss Americans off.
You got to take a payday loan off to fill your truck
exactly.
up.
Exactly. What do you do? Well, it's payday. I fill my truck up. You know, and then the rest of the, then you got to drive real slow the rest of the month until your next check comes.
You know, that's a sad part for people making minimum wage or right around low income. And they all have to drive because nothing's close. When you spend an hour's worth of labor just to drive in for work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, because, I mean, look, you know, it gets to $7-$8 a gallon. That's minimum wage right there. You're hitting that minimum wage unless you're in California or Seattle.
Our economy can't really operate at $7 or $8 a gallon. It can't operate. I mean, can the farmers afford diesel for their tractors?
Can't afford
fertilizer
right
on the Chesapeake Bay, right? I'm that big bay guy. I'm always out on the water, but big Chesapeake Bay. But there's, I know, like watermen. They're out there crabbers or clammers or whatever they're doing. They're, you know, getting to, can they afford diesel for their boats? How much is it going to cost for the seafood that they catch? If they have to pay all of this, you know, $10 a gallon, nobody's going to be, when they come back with crabs or whatever, nobody's going to be able to afford to buy the things that they're catching. So there's going to be no market for that stuff. Because to a lot of people, seafood is a little bit of a luxury, you know, I'm going to get some crabs this weekend or something like that, some shrimp, something you like, a little bit of a luxury. That luxury goes away when you can't afford, you know, barely make your bills. And it's just a disaster. And what you end up with is everybody thinks about inflation. But when you have companies that can't afford to operate and have to lay people off or stop running, you get deflation.
Yep.
And that's, you know, now you get a bunch of people without jobs. Then they stop paying for their cars. The cars go back. They stop paying for their houses. The houses are empty. You know, that seems like the direction we're heading right now, I think.
Yep. But hey, BlackRock would love that. They'll buy it all up, and you can rent it from them. The Great Depression didn't have BlackRock.
Yeah, nobody will have money to rent them.
Well, think if the Great Depression had BlackRock. I mean, the U.S. got lucky that time. There's no BlackRocks around. They are now. You know, you'll own nothing, and we don't give a damn if you're going to be happy or not.
Yeah, I was about to. They dropped the second part. They're just going to go with you'll own nothing.
You'll own nothing, and we'll be happy.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That's the part. It's like, I'm sorry, we misspelled that. That wasn't you'll be happy. We'll be happy.
Yes, but you know, as they will learn in Europe, the hard way. If you're the rich people and you're the elite, and you know, this has happened again and again in history, that's unsustainable.
Yep.
Because when people get desperate, when people get in but so much pain, you know, they're not rational anymore.
Nope.
They get angry, they get violent, they don't. And so, yeah, you can steal, but so much from the people. But when you put the people in a position where they can't survive anymore, that's why I said Europe, I think there's going to be violence. I think
Oh,
there's going to be violence when the people get to the point where they come on. Merz has got what, 15, 16% approval rating now?
oh,
What's going to happen when people in Germany have nothing and no gas and zero? There will be
yep.
violence. And it's human nature.
Hungry people
Maybe
go
they'll eat
feral.
Merz.
Yeah. Hungry people get angry. They get mean. They go feral. And hungry people watching their kids starve. Oh, yeah.
Somebody's going to die.
Somebody's gonna be in the soup kettle tonight,
Yeah,
you
exactly. Eat the rich, right? You've seen those things
Oh,
people have. Yeah, that's kind of.
sometimes that actually happens. That's the interesting thing. That sometimes that actually happens. Garland, thank you for joining the call. It's always a pleasure. It's always a great conversation. So
Yep.
I said, hey, if it gets bad enough, my door's open. We've got plenty of food. We grow all, Russia feeds a third of the world, so we won't starve.
Well, I've got like four sisters, and we've always said, we said, well, we all grew up in the same house, so if it goes bad, we'll all just move, and we'll keep one house, and we'll all move and sleep in the basement, and we'll find
Exact.
figure out
And
where.
by the way, we don't have GMO by law.
Right.
So it's
The
GMO
foods.
free, the food. I've actually had people say when all these sanctions started, oh, you're in Russia now, you're gonna starve. We feed a third of the world, we're not gonna starve. And gasoline in Russia has gone up like 5 or 6 rubles over all of this. So like about what? I guess that comes out to about 10 cents.
Well, very shortly, Europe's going to be screwed. They're going to be out of gas, out of power. They're going to be in a very bad situation. And they're going to be looking across the border at those darn Ruskies. And Russia's going to be going on about its business, living its normal life.
Yep. That's the
And
best
guess
way to
what? The
piss
door's
people
closed.
off.
Hey, can I move to Russia? Nah, no, sorry, the
No. Come
door's
on.
closed.
We're always willing to take good people. Well, seriously, why not? I've actually had liberals screaming at me, yeah, you can take those MAGA as in actual MAGA people, the people who don't want
Yeah.
violence, they're hardworking, not the Trump groupies, but the
No.
actual. It's like, okay, so you're offering for us to take the best working, most brightest people you have that are conservative and believe in family values? Sure.
I had somebody ask me,
Sure.
well, you traveled around the world, Garland. What's your favorite city? And I said, Moscow. And they're like, Moscow? And I'm like, Moscow is what, and this is what the way I put it, Moscow is what we wish New York was. That's what we're told New York is, but that ain't what New York is. It's what we wish New York was. It's a big, beautiful city. It's reasonably priced. Now, I can't speak for the people in Moscow. I don't know how much money they make. I'm sure it's not as cheap for them as it is for me because I got
True,
American
true.
dollars when I come there. But I'm just saying, I put it like this, you can afford heat and electricity, and people in America are struggling, in New York are struggling with that and their rent and everything else. So it's what we wish New York was. And
Yep.
it's clean. And you don't have a lot of crime. Again, it's what we wish New York
Yeah,
was.
you can walk at night and not get eaten or beaten or murdered and raped and pillaged and whatever else, But by the way, I'll just leave on this. Last time I was in New York, me and my wife got stuck there because of rainstorms. JFK just collapsed, right? And we were stuck there for like 3 days just for our carry on. And we're staying in the hotel. I'm like, hey, let's go take a look at New York. We're working around. Like, let's go take a look at it. And I've been in New York plenty of times. She'd never been to New York. Like, let's go to the subway. In the
Talk
interest
about a
of walking
zoo.
in. We never actually bought tickets to go down into the subway because we got in there and it's black mold and it's trash and it's druggies and all that. She's like, no, I ain't going down any further. I'm like, come on, you haven't seen anything yet. Let's go take a ride. She's like, no. Turned around, walks out. It's like, good choice.
Yeah, it's going downhill.
Oh, it's an interesting psycho ward. It's
It's
just
totally nuts.
it's a wall of psycho ward. The whole
It
city
really
and the
is.
whole country's gone nuts,
It's
and the
totally
whole
nuts.
West has gone nuts. Garland, thank you. Thank you
All
very
righty,
much.
man.
Yep. Everybody, thank you for joining. And we will be back. What can I say? Trump will give us more info, more material.
Don't remind me.
Cheers, everybody.